Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week, we're talking about the power of connection. It may seem like a simple thing and something, connection's a bit of a buzzword, but we really break down why it's actually extremely important. The team has a great conversation, and hopefully, not only do you feel connected to us in this podcast, but hopefully this encourages you to go out and connect with others. As always, have a magical week and enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week, we are going to be talking about the power of connection, and we're all connected here on Zoom, which is very exciting. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit, but before we get into that, let's jump around the team and see how they're going. Graham, how are you going this week?
Hey, Jez, I am well. For folks who may have decided to watch the video version of this, apologies. That's it. For those who are just listening to it, you missed out. I've had a good week. I've been at home pretty much all week. I'm babysitting, or is the correct term chicken sitting or fowl sitting? I'm not sure. So we've got a couple of chooks and five guinea fowl running around the backyard, terrifying themselves. Probably because at the moment there are no foxes around, which is great. But yeah, otherwise, no, I'm good. I'm good. And it's Friday.
Yes, yes. And we encourage people to check out the attire on our Spotify if you want the video feed. You can see the different outfits we all have on today. It's a very nice casual Friday podcast. We like to have a casual vibe, and so I think that that's well executed.
Well, yeah, John, you can't get much more casual than this.
Yes, John, you got to step up your game here when it comes to the casual nature. We want to see some sort of hoodie or sweatshirt.
Yeah, okay. We'll see what I can do for next Friday.
Sounds good.
John, I reckon you'd rock the unicorn hoodie, John.
Oh, you would absolutely rock the unicorn.
I do happen to have a spare one. I'll bring it up.
Okay, excellent.
I think we're going to have to actually talk to Udi about being a professional sponsor of the ML podcast, I think. I think that's only a logical sponsorship deal. So I'll send out a feeler and see how we go there. But other than that, John, how are you going this week?
Look, I've lost interest, Jez, to be honest. I really don't care at the moment. So I'm having a wonderful time in my own little world. I'm not sure what the colour of the sky is, but it's beautiful out there. But we did have a loss this week, unlike Graham, who obviously has all these fowl in the backyard. My daughter is out on 5 acres and lost the last of her chooks, two foxes, this week. So we've got to rework that for her.
That's frustrating. I feel like
foxes... Not fun.
Yeah, sorry, go, Graham.
No, sorry, Jez. I was going to say if anybody listening happens to have either a DeLorean or Doctor Who's phone number, like one that'll work on Earth, because I'd love to go back to, I think it was 1920-ish, when some numpty from the UK decided to bring foxes to Australia so they could do the hunt. So I'd like to go back and rearrange their molecular structure just a little bit. You know, just saying. Oh, wait, this is recorded. Too late.
Yes, look, foxes are slowly becoming the nemesis of the ML podcast somehow. So I don't know how that's happened, but it's just true. Anyway, we wish anybody that has chickens luck, and hopefully they can work out some system. And if you do have tips, actually send them through, because it is a theme of the ML podcast. Legas, how are you going this week? Any interactions with foxes?
No interactions with foxes, fortunately. But yeah, just it's been my birthday this week, so I turned 27. And Danette has been in town for the last couple of days, so hanging out with her, which has been good. And other than that, pretty quiet week, to be honest. yeah, it's been good.
Fair enough.
I just realised what was different about being home.
And what's that, Graham?
The fact that Danette's been in Melbourne for the whole week.
Now it all makes sense.
Wow.
Just having epiphanies left, right, and center.
Oh, geez, isn't he? He's really out there this week.
He's disappeared from the video.
Oh, then. Hurry up and get home, Danette.
I think she's heading home tomorrow. So, yeah.
Thanks, John.
Speaking of that, though, we're talking about today the power of connection, and I think this is a great way to do it. Like I said, we're on Zoom. I wanted to have this conversation because I feel like it's a really good one, because the other week I realized how important connection is as a sort of like a tech money-making system. Like, a lot of tech is based on connection. Zoom, right, for example, was a huge technology that essentially hijacked Skype, but managed to utilize our need for connection over lockdown and became a huge technology that most people use most weeks. But if you look at most other technology, everything from social media through to Amazon, through to dating apps, through to Reddit, everything is all based on connection. And it has ended up being a huge tech thing. So I was just thinking about this week, and I was like, you know what, why don't we break it down a little bit, given that it is such an important thing. So I might start with you, Graham. Why is it important to connect with others outside of and within business?
It's a great topic, Jez, and thanks for suggesting this one. I have a long list of responses for or answers for that question, but I think just a couple. From a personal perspective, connection with other human beings, particularly in like a face-to-face environment where we're literally in the same, you know, physical space as others, is great for building human capital. It's good for our resilience, our adaptability. But on a slightly broader note, connecting with others at work can improve trust, communication, collaboration, creativity. So it's incredibly important from a business perspective, but I think underlying that is just the value that we get from it as human beings.
Yeah, and I think just a little bit on that, Graham, because you've just reminded me of our Callum McCurdy podcast, which people can go check out. But yeah, one of the key lessons from that was being able to learn how to connect with your neurodivergent work and employees and workmates makes you better at communicating with all people in general. And that's just because you get extra tips that help you to bring a fresh approach. So that's another part of it. Love that. Thanks, yeah, Graham.
Great idea. Thanks.
Yeah. And I encourage people to go check that podcast out. Callum McCurdy was the guest. So go back to that one. It's a great episode. John, I'll throw it to you now. Why is it important to connect with others outside of and within business?
Well, Jez, everything we do is based around relationships. Whether it be your online gaming with other people, you're in a relationship with them. If you go and buy petrol, you know, going and paying for it, there's an engagement with someone else. So there's some sort of relationship going on. So getting connected to people and saying hello is just something so simple, but I don't know, it's something that's valued by people, that they're acknowledged, they're not ignored. You know, so to me, it helps with mental health, and helps that connected to society, you know, village to raise a child type of mentality, becomes really important. Learning, you can learn so much more from other people. You know, if you can shut your trap for a little while and just listen to people, you're going to learn a lot. Yeah, the collaboration, the community, all sorts of things like that. So, yeah, it's invaluable.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for that, John. It's true. And it's true. We're having connection potential opportunities all the time. You're right. Even just going to get gas gives you that opportunity. So that's awesome. Thanks for that, John.
For sure. And you've got a choice over it too, as to whether you engage or don't engage. But yeah, just saying hello to someone can be really important.
And I think that also, to some degree, it's not a huge risk to try and connect with someone, because you can, if you choose not to do it, then you're automatically going to disconnect, and that's fine. That happens all the time anyway, but you yeah. give yourself that opportunity, I guess, when you go in with that different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I work in an office where, you know, I play a game, I walk down the corridor and someone walking towards me, and you just watch them, they look away, or, you know, suddenly they're on their phone. And it's like you say hello and it's like you shot them. You know, it's, oh, you know, someone spoke. Oh, you know, connection. Boy, hang on, can't do that. So, yeah, you know, play the game and say hello to people and see how they react. And I think it's hilarious.
It's John, can I just – it's a great point. But how do you deal with it when they shriek and then just run from you at touch speed? I'm still working.
I just engage my lawyer again for those sorts of occasions. You know, it's easier. Look, you get used to it. My wife tends to do that when I say, like, come home. It's like, oh, shit, are you here again? Yeah, sorry, dear.
So there you go. You have all those options for different types of connection, I think we can say.
Absolutely.
Love that. Thanks, John. Leggers, why is it important to connect with others outside of and within business?
I mean, these guys obviously covered a big one, which is like relationships with others and sort of like having a sense of community, which is like humans are obviously predisposed to that sort of environment where we need to be sort of surrounded by other people to have support because we're not solo creatures. And I think something that was interesting that I was thinking about with the tech advancements with all of this is that people are still struggling to fully feel like the tech can fully replace the human face-to-face interaction. And I feel like part of business is struggling with this, where they've gone, you know, full online and then back to the workplace or hybrid, and they haven't quite figured out how to build the community in the online sense and how to sort of involve that into real life face to face. So I feel like that's something that businesses and people in general need to work on, is building like the face to face connections as well, because like online is one thing, but like deep conversation usually happens in person. And so, yeah, but I think, you know, people crave that sort of community. And, you know, with things like people moving around and like less sort of religious following and stuff like that, people have sort of a vacuum of where that community would have been originally. So, yeah, it's really important to try and fill that for yourself, because otherwise you'll feel quite isolated and lonely. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Legas. And I think that also it's that kind of it's because I think a lot of like, may say a Zoom, for example, it's hard to have all of yourself on a Zoom because often they're about a topic. Like it might be a meeting for like, say we're talking about social media or something.
You froze, Jess.
Oh, hello. Am I back? Okay, cool.
No, you're back.
yeah, it can be hard to sort of give off all yourself and really make a connection if we're just here to talk about one topic that I have a, you know, that we're just talking about one sort of specific area. So I think having that face-to-face time gives you the time to kind of let more of yourself out, you know? Am I frozen again?
Okay. Yeah, nice. You got like halfway through and then it just sort of...
Okay.
Gotcha. Oh, Graham, you're muted.
This is why face-to-face communication is way worse than Zoom.
Don't do technology. It's gone now. I was going to say, Jez, perhaps if you were a little more expressive with your hands and tried to connect with others through this medium with your hands, well, that way when you froze, it would look. But then some numpty forgot to unmute himself, so it's all gone.
Look, it's all recording on my computer, so I'm going to get my feed well, and I'm receiving everyone else. So everyone just pretend you heard me and pretend I had great ideas, okay?
If no one responds, as we didn't hear the question at the very end of it, we're like...
All right, well, Legas, I might stick with you for question two here, and if I cut out, just answer question two, okay? So what happens when connection isn't a key part of work culture?
So I feel like, sort of touching on what I was saying before, like the isolation, like for example, this wasn't work culture, but this, when I first started uni, it was all online and there was no connection with any of my other peers and barely any connection with my teachers. And I was struggling and I thought that I was the only one struggling because I didn't have that sense of community with the others. And basically when I, you know, and I felt terrible because I was like, why is this so hard for me? It seems so easy for everyone else. And then when I started attending in person, everyone was struggling. It was like, it was, you know, it was hard, and that was validating for me to know that A, I'm not terrible at what I want to do. It's just a hard thing to learn. And secondly, it's like, you can build community and learn from others as well. Like being able to see how people, you know, do things with their projects can help give you insights to how you want to approach yours. And so, yeah, I found that that was really eye-opening for me, because I sort of was really hard on myself, but and that was because there was a lack of connection in the sort of culture that was the uni. So once that was sort of rectified, I felt a lot better, to be honest. So, yeah.
Mm. It's and that's also interesting. I think that's a common thing from this, is like you're feeling connection through almost a lack of connection. You were able to make connection, you know?
Yeah, totally. And fascinating. Yeah, it's been so much better. Everyone's like, oh my God.
John, I'll go to you now. What happens when connection isn't a key part of work culture?
Well, I think Legas hit it with, you know, her answer to that first question of business have struggled. And I think we all did struggle, especially with COVID. Suddenly you're going into the office every day of the week, and suddenly you're told go work from home, and we're going to work out how this works and how we get you to do your job. And but none of us know how that's going to work. So let's just trial and error. And there's the isolation, there's the suddenly education's online, which, you know, hadn't happened before in mainstream. You know, so teachers aren't used to doing that sort of stuff. Work businesses weren't really remote at all. And, you know, even here, people still want people to be at desk, because apparently you actually do work at desk and you don't do work at home, allegedly. So, yeah, look, trying to build those connections has been a real challenge. And now back in the office, it's trying to build those face-to-face relationships, because, you know, I can sit in my bay where there are some days three others, and we'll all be on a Zoom call rather than talking to each other. It's like, seriously, do we need to do this? Let's turn around and we can actually talk to people. We could look at each other. Scary. But when there's no connection, or when the connection's not good, it's very fragmented. You struggle to deliver. And as a project manager, you know, part of my job is making sure people deliver on the projects that we've got to do. And if they're not delivering, is it because they're not communicating? And a great example for me was a few years ago, we had a team of doing work and we had it laid out, and so person A had to do something and hand off to person B, and it was due on a day. So I've gone down to person A the next day and said, how'd you go? Did you get it done? Yeah, I've got it all done. So did you hand it off to person B? And they've gone, oh, I don't actually know who they are. I went, seriously, that's held you up? You haven't come with me. And we walked, you know, the 20 meters down the corridor, and there's person B, and you make the introduction. There it is. He's got to hand this to you. You've got to take it. You've got to do stuff. Are we good? You guys work it out. See you later. You know, and it's, guys, just connect, communicate. And go back to the mental health stuff. To me, it's really good to connect with your mental health. And I think, again, COVID's shown that that isolation, a lot of people struggled with their mental health, with having to stay at home, with it not being able to get out. So, you know, to me, COVID really reinforces the fact that connection is really important to all, to the majority of us. Long-winded answer.
No, but that's great. I mean, that was a great example. You know, I think a lot of good examples there, and I think it even kind of sparked an interesting metaphor, which is that, which we've already experienced on this Zoom call, but when there isn't a good connection, in this case, internet connection, it can make all communication kind of more stilted and stuff, whereas when there's a nice connection, it's much smoother and easier to communicate. It's a nice little metaphor. So thanks for that. Yeah. Graham, what happens when connection isn't a key part of work culture?
I like both what both Legas and John had to say. I sort of went back to, if we look at it from the perspective of the organisation, then you know, that lost connection, or just the inability to create connection in the first place, impacts things like trust. And then we know that, you know, if you look at a team working within an organisation, if there's low or no trust, that impacts everything. Yeah, communication, collaboration, openness, creativity, productivity, everything just suffers as a result. And then if you look at the impact on the people, which I think is more important anyway, Some of you may recall Maslow's hierarchy of needs from back in the good old days. If it was ever taught at school, it might have been. I don't know. I think it arrived after I finished school. But the base level of Maslow's hierarchy. Come on, that was my best Friday, Jack. Cheers. Wow.
I was going to say, so pen and paper turned up after you left school too, didn't it? You got off the stone tablets?
Yeah. I finished school just before dirt was in there.
Yeah,
back in the day. So the base level of Maslow's hierarchy was things like food, clothing, water, shelter. And then a new model came out about 3 years ago, and I saw it on the internet, therefore it must be true. And it had been updated for the younger generations because they'd identified a new base level, which was more important than food, water, clothing, shelter, et cetera. And, of course, that was Wi-Fi, which enables connection, but not in the way that we really need to be connected, which goes back to Legger's comment earlier about that whole isolation thing and the fact that amazing things happen when we get together with other people in the same space. Just going back to Maslow's thing, so there was a book written a few years ago called Social by Matt Lieberman and Naomi Eisenberger, who do a lot of work through the Neuro Leadership Institute. And they'd taken a lot of research that had been done over the last 60 years or so, plus studies of their own, which showed that we can survive in isolation of other people if we have food, water, clothing, shelter, but we don't thrive. So in order for us to thrive as human beings, we need connection. So there really is a level below even Wi-Fi, for that matter, strange as it may seem. So, I think when there's no genuine connection, everything suffers. Everybody suffers as a result.
Yeah, and I think kind of piggybacking off that, Graham, something else I've been thinking about is if you only really have like one type of connection, it can kind of stunt how you are as a person. Say I only feel like I have a connection to talk to people through sport, maybe, and that's it. Then I only develop a personality around myself that is sport kind of focused, you know? But as I build out more different types of things, I can become sort of a more rounded person.
That's a great point.
Awesome. All right, well, let's jump into question three, Graham. I'll stay with you here. What are good ways to connect with others if it's not easy for you to do so?
Again, excellent question. I just went straight to the introverts, and as a strong introvert myself, I can recall countless occasions where I've been obliged or required or expected to walk into a room full of people I don't know and engage in witty banter. And it's not easy, you know, it's really not easy. So I guess for me, start small. And maybe if you are disinclined to want to sort of make new friends, or just don't have to be friends, just new connections with people you haven't necessarily met before or don't know very well. Maybe start with people who you feel have a similar interest, like a shared interest, because that's one way of starting on a sort of safer space rather than going into a room full of people who are talking about stuff you have no idea about. And the other thing I thought might be really helpful, particularly for the strong introverts, is find an opportunity or create an opportunity to go into a large city, like a large urban environment where there is at least one building that has a lift, an elevator, and go into the elevator last when it's almost full. So timing is important. Make sure you face everybody else in the lift. So that's lift etiquette number one. And the second thing is just say something witty, smile when you say it. Like, I don't know half of you half as well as I would like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. Thanks, J.R.R. Tolkien. And then just turn around and face the door and let us know how it goes. Oh, yeah, mic drop straight after that. But seriously, I think, start small, start safe, and be okay with feeling a little bit uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point beyond the lift stand-up comedy that you're doing there. I think that idea is that it is going to be uncomfortable. No, like it's impossible for it to be comfortable if it's not something you're doing. So it's naturally going to be uncomfortable. That's part of it. If you accept that part, then you just have to look at what the next thing is going to be. Yeah, love that, Graham. Thanks for that. And great J.R.R. Tolkien quote. Great to see it on the ML podcast. John, I'll throw it to you now. What are some good ways to connect with others if it's not easy for you to do so?
I guess it's built on what you're currently doing. So everyone would have some sort of engagement with other people, and whether it's an online presence that you've got with them through responding, you know, just being the keyboard warrior and responding to posts or whatever, or whether it's, you know, working in an environment and you're sitting next to someone, just build on that as a starting point. You don't have to go out and do huge things or, you know, be up on stage or anything like that, but build on what you're currently doing. Recognize what your current, where your current connections are or your current engagement. And it may be that you're, you know, you work from home, so therefore you're isolated from the, from physically people in the office, but you know, there is a communication going between within your team. So how do you engage in that? And I guess the other part is be mindful of it. So be aware of it and be present at the time. Don't just, you know, pass it off as you know, it's not necessary or it's just a pain in the butt or whatever it may be, but be mindful and engage. Make the decision to engage. I still go back to, you know, walk down the corridor and say hello to people as you go past. Hello. Don't care if they don't respond, but yeah, it's just a bit of fun.
And yeah, and I think kind of piggybacking on that, John, I think the what we've kind of talked about today and what you're talking about just there is that it doesn't have to be a like connection for any work purpose or anything. It can just be for its own sake, because that helps you, you know, with all the things that we've said throughout this podcast.
You stalled again.
That's all right. It sounded great on my end.
I mean... I know, it was very intelligent. Oh, amazing. I feel so fulfilled having heard not what you said. But yeah, even if you are a loner and you hang out at home on your own and you game or whatever, in gaming, you're going to be engaging with people, or in being a critic of all the posts that come out, no matter what they are, you're engaging with people. So look at how you're doing that and, you know, try and do it a bit better.
Awesome. Thanks for that, John. Legas, I'll throw to you now. What are good ways to connect with others if it's not easy for you to do so?
Well, I mean, I'm an introvert, so I do find this personally to be difficult at times. And especially post-COVID, I found that connecting face-to-face was more of a hurdle for me. But I mean, sort of piggybacking off what John was saying, like, you know, if you go to a regular coffee place, have a chat with your, you know, barista or whatever, and, or, you know, your local grocery store, if you have, you know, consistent, people in the checkout, like get to know the people that sort of are working around you and are sort of part of your life in small ways. But you know, ask them how their day is going and stuff like that, because that's really easy. You can incorporate that into your life with not a lot of effort. And obviously there's other things, like, you know, if you want to find a new community, go out and maybe try an activity that you're interested in trying. So I mean, if we take Al, for example, he's trying Pilates at the moment, and I'm sure that he's making, you know, a lot of new connections by doing so. And, you know, that's an interest of his, and that would be an interest of the people attending as well. So, you know, you can find people who enjoy doing the same things as you. You just have to maybe go out once in a while and try. But yeah, as like a general thing, yeah, just try and talk to people more in your life that you sort of already interact with, and you never know, you could be great friends in the future.
That's lovely, Legas.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much for this great chat. I feel like it's been a really good one, despite my internet connection. But Legas, let's grab some final thoughts today on today's conversation and the power of connection.
I mean, I feel like we've all said really good things here, but obviously I would just say connection is important, and do what you can to build more in your life and utilize what you have around you, and, you know, help others as well. Like if you see that someone is really isolated, maybe reach out to them and, you know, ask to hang out if you haven't hung out with them in a while. So, you know, connect with others through your life.
Awesome. Thanks, Lakers. And thanks for jumping on the podcast today. Great to have you on, as
Thanks
always.
For having me.
No problem. John, any final thoughts on the power of connection or today's conversation?
Yeah, look, I've enjoyed it. I think what Lakers just said, something just hit me, was utilize what's around you. And I think that becomes really important. And it's not just what's around you, but who's around you. Recently, there are a few guys similar age to me who, you know, I've caught up with, and you hear they're not doing well and you go, shit, I better make an effort. So you start the effort. So utilize the people around you. It's easy, especially when times are tough, to become introverted and not reach out. But that's the time you really have to. And if you're in business, really think about how you engage your employees, or, you know, engage with your employees. Because as a, you know, leader or as a director, business owner or whatever, you do have an obligation, and make the effort.
Awesome. Thanks for that, John. And great answers today. It's been a really good one. Graham, any final thoughts on today's conversation and the power of connection?
Yeah, just to build on Legas and John's comments at the end about just connecting with people that you already know. So you don't necessarily have to do the, you know, smart aleck one-liner in the lift, but I'd still love to hear your experience in doing that, folks. And I guess the other thing too is, because it only occurred to me sort of halfway through this, is we haven't really touched on the benefit that you are, or the gift that you're giving someone else. So often when we, you know, if we're having a crap day or a crap week, we can sometimes just tend to sort of hunker down and get really sort of self and inwards focused. And there's always, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, there's always somebody in a worse situation than you. So I think just being aware of the gift that you can give somebody else by doing it, as John said, you know, make eye contact with people culturally appropriately and say hi. And it's okay if they don't say anything back, but just give them that gift. Just make that genuine effort to connect, or, you know, when you're paying for your groceries, make eye contact and say hi and smile and mean it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Graham. Great insights today from everyone. That was such a good podcast. I've had a really good time. For people that are watching this or listening to this, you can always obviously share this. And if you do want to connect with us, each on Spotify, we have a little question panel that you can ask a question. So feel free to go to that and connect with us. If you do try this lift thing, please tell us about it, or record it on video and so we can see how it goes. We would love to see that. But otherwise, until next time, have a magical week.